This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Well, Carol is away today enjoying some good weather, and she'll take a few 4-day weekends between now and the end of August, and so I will be here by myself, but no, don't worry, you won't just have to listen to me going blah, blah, blah. We've got some terrific guests lined up, especially today. First, want to let you know our show is brought to you by Integrity Health Coaching Solutions of Bedford and Londonderry, integrityfit.com. And Carol's Places, Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with the drive-thru store in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. My name is Mike Moore, and we're here till 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday, on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. And something that we're getting behind and want you to be aware of is the Bryce Strong Family Fun Day and benefit for a young boy who's battling Hodgkin's lymphoma. In April of this year, 10-year-old Bryce Haynes of Concord was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was first hospitalized at Concord Hospital, then they moved him to CHAD, which is, of course, Children's Hospital at Dartmouth, where he currently receives his medical treatment. He's been struggling with low absolute neutrophil counts, requiring postponed cancer treatments, virtual isolation because of a compromised immune system, and other precautionary measures. That's just kind of the emotional side of it. Then there's the dollars and cents side, and that's where we hope that you can help out. For Bryce Strong Family Fun Day and benefit, August 1st, that is just a couple of weeks ago. It's a Saturday from 11 to 4. It's happening at Eagle Square Park, 1 Eagle Square in Concord. Wildlife Encounters Show at noon and 3. And, I mean, there's so many things perfect for kids. And it is free to attend. However, they are asking that if you are able, please make a small donation for the Bryce Strong Family Fun Day and benefit. He is suffering with Hodgkin's lymphoma. And, of course, your loved ones and family suffer along with you. So, that said, in just a couple of moments, it's all about the beer, today. Michael Hopley Pierce is here. He hosts a wildly popular podcast. The hopheads all over the world are discovering it every day. It's called The Tap Handle Show. And he knows more about beer than anybody I do. And I'm sure he would say he knows people that know way more than he does. So he's got just the right knowledge. He brought along a guest today from Smutty Nose Brewing Company in Hampton. That'll be cool. Their products are fantastic, and they are turning 21 this year, as I understand. So we'll be chatting with him in just a couple of moments. Linda Thompson-Ditch used to live and work here in New Hampshire. She moved to Kansas, but she's still blogging and loving food and sharing her views of food with the world by way of her There and Back Again blog and website. So we'll check in with her, as we do every Thursday. And one of our favorites, Chef Patrick Hall. He's one of these people that you listen to him talk, and you learn so much about food and about cooking, and I have learned a lot. That's a great thing about doing the show with Carol the last 4 or 5 months is all the people that we have met and all the things that, I have learned anyway. And now it was revealed yesterday that Carol is actually going to give grilling a try. She has completely avoided it her entire life, and we kind of convinced her yesterday. When we had Professor Barbecue Kevin Coleman from Weber on, he talked her off the ledge, got her through a couple basics of grilling. And once you get the basics down, I mean, that's all it is. If you can cook inside, you can cook outdoors, if indeed you just pay attention to a few other things. What I did want to share with you is some good news about bacon. Yes, bacon may have the ability to prolong your life, according to a recent study by researchers from ETH in Zurich. I don't know what that stands for, but it's probably some kind of a fancy think tank of sorts. The pork product is apparently full of niacin. I think if you flip the package over, you see that definitely prominently listed in the ingredients, also known as vitamin B3, which has been linked to a longer lifespan. So all the time, people have been bad-mouthing bacon, not showing bacon the love because, oh, it'll clog your arteries. Well, guess what? Niacin to the rescue. Researchers tested the theory by feeding a selection of roundworms. Suddenly, it didn't get too savory. They've been feeding a selection of roundworms a good dose of niacin, and their life lasted 1/10 longer. So if you can extrapolate what happens with roundworms and bacon and niacin, add 10%. So if you were, say, going to live to 80, add another 8 years. Just start eating the bacon now because you've already gone through how much of your life without eating much bacon? Now, I know some of you are people that love bacon and eat it regularly. thumbs up to you because you are on your way to a long and happy bacon life. You can also find the vitamins in paprika. Oh, I love cooking with paprika, especially smoked paprika, giving it kind of that exotic flavor. Sun-dried tomatoes, peanuts, and Marmite, which I believe is a yeast extract, and it sounds a little bit like Vegemite, which is also made from a yeast extract, although it's disgusting to eat. So get your hands on some Marmite. You can find niacin in bacon, which is all that really matters. So isn't that good news? And this is maybe good news or bad news. If you love bacon and you like kale, then I think we might have hit two birds with one stone here. A pivotal moment in humanity where we can create something as healthy as kale, but delicious like bacon. According to the Associated Press, scientists at Oregon State University have done just that. A recently patented strain of seaweed called Dulse, spelled D-U-L-S-E, Dulse, was somehow combined with the flavor of the salty pork product. The seaweed is found along the Pacific and Atlantic coastlines. No specifics were given as to how the seaweed was given the bacon flavor, but nobody's complaining. Some Dulse-based products have already been in development. Among them are a rice cracker, salad dressing, and bacon-flavored strips that you fry up. I wonder how it looks. Dulse is said to be packed with minerals, protein, vitamins, and antioxidants. The team spent 15 years developing the specific type of seaweed. Originally, it was meant to serve as a superfood for abalone. Turns out the powers that be had greater plans for kale. And that is a kale bacon. Somehow, I'm thinking I'm sticking to the real thing, but I would try it. I would give it a shot. Have you ever had, kale crisps or kale chips actually is what it is. It's actually really, really good where, and I don't have the recipe, but the gist of it is that you take kale and you bake it in the oven at a certain temperature for X amount of minutes, and then you salt it lightly when you take it out, and it doesn't even taste like kale. It's just got this really crispiness. It sort of falls apart, kind of flakes apart, and it's really, really good. So if somebody offers you kale chips, try it, because we know that kale is the food du jour. Everybody's all excited about kale, and it is very good for you. And there are other things you can do with it besides just eating it raw, because sometimes it can be very stringy if you get the part where the veins are and all that stuff. So bacon and kale bacon are the words of the day. You heard it here first on the Pulse 107.7 WTPL. It is food for thought. I'm going to take a break, and when we come back, Michael Hopley-Pierce and his beer guest today, JT Thompson from Smutty Nose Brewing Company in Hampton. Can't wait to hear what they have to say. It's all about the beer coming up next on WTPL.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
It must be Thirsty Thursday, because Food for Thought is about to pour you a liquid lunch with MHP Untapped. Hang out with us while we talk with brewers and beer movers and shakers, discuss New Hampshire beer culture and events, and answer calls to our studio live at 866-823-1077. And now, Carol and Mike bring you MHP Untapped.
See, what I love is Michael Hopley-Pierce's new business card say, have show, we'll travel. He's got everything self-contained, and we need to train our other regular guests to come complete with introductions and snappy patter and great music and all that stuff.
I'm trying to raise the bar in New Hampshire here, Mike.
Well, you're doing it not only from a entertainment point of view and a podcast point of view, but also a drinking craft brew point of view.
I visit the bar as well as raising it.
Oh, you do?
I do. One might even say I frequent it.
So it's not something you do from afar. It's up close and personal.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Face to face. For sure.
There's a show called a Tap Handle Show that you can get online that has many, many dozens of podcasts. And, you know, this week, because I do a more modest version of a podcast for Manchester Inklink, and I realized that there's a huge number of people that don't know what a podcast is. And of course, I've been in radio forever, so as they came on, I knew what it was, but you just can't assume the public does. And I was sending out invitations to a number of people to join me, And I wasn't hearing back from some of them. And I suspect it's because I never explained that it's nothing more than an interview that's going to be online, basically.
Right.
In fact, I found that out yesterday. It was great feedback from a podcast subject I had. And I said, so we're going to do a podcast. And they said, we don't know what that is. I said, well, thank you for telling me that, because I have a feeling a lot of people don't. So if Michael calls you or I call you to do a podcast, you want to do it because it's free publicity. And chances are there's more people online that will hear it than maybe on radio.
It was one of the big three U.S. car makers, and I can't remember which it was, announced that I think starting in 2016 they were going to do 5 or 7 million iTunes built into vehicles, as just sort of like the way SiriusXM is built in now. And so that's going to give people who might not have had exposure to that marketplace as far as looking for content kind of a new venue to do it seamlessly. The way I usually explain it to people is you do on demand, right? You have a TiVo or you watch your TV on demand. It's just content, audio content on demand instead of video. It's the same thing. You watch, you listen when you want, you pause when you want, you start it over, you go to the ones you want, and you skip the ones you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And you don't have to listen to it as it's being done.
Right.
And that was the exact comparison I gave to these people yesterday. It's like, well, you got a TiVo or, you know, DVR. It's the same thing. You can just consume it. And that's the way radio and other media is now being consumed. It's at the convenience. And the sooner that radio stations figure that out, and most of them have, the better they'll be. But it's not about radio today. It's about beer.
They're not mutually exclusive concepts
no.
by any means. Having been on the podcast, they're definitely not mutually exclusive.
Who was that mystery voice?
You know, that might just be J.T. Thompson, the Minister of Propaganda for Smutty Nose, and also the Vice President of the Granite State Brewers Association.
Hello, everyone in Radio Land.
Hello.
Thanks for having me on today.
And welcome.
And Michael.
Yeah, very, very happy to hear you. Now, when I was introduced to you before we went on the air and you were told that you were, to me, you're the Minister of Propaganda, does your business card say that? Because, I mean, essentially, I know that's what it is.
No, my business card say that.
I love that.
And my email signature says it, too. Which only gets awkward when you start sending emails to Germany. The first time I sent an email to Germany with my email signature, right after I hit send, I got like really flushed and embarrassed, and I felt really awkward. and then it passes, and you sort of accept the fact that that's part of what you do. And that's one of the things that I love about being in this industry is we can get away with really interesting and clever job titles. A lot of people tell me that I have the best one, but the best one I ever saw was when Todd Hare was the brewmaster of Magic Hat. This is back maybe 5 years ago. His business card said Chief Spellbinder and Conjurer. And I thought, that totally takes the cake. At that point, you're getting into like mystical Harry Potter kind of stuff.
Yeah, I've seen receptionists at places say, you know, Director of First Impressions. And so it's good that we're having a little fun with. And I somehow sense that with your title in that way, it kind of reflects maybe the culture at Smutty Nose, that it is all about having fun. But, of course, it's also taking care of business.
Absolutely. And I think you could make that statement about pretty much the entire craft beer industry. You know, we're lucky. You know, you're listening on the radio, but I came in here today with like a big bushy beard, an earring, and a pair of Vans, and like I can do that in my job, and this industry works that way,
and it actually aids in your credibility, if anything.
But you do have
the beard, especially.
Yeah. Well, but you do have a Ralph Lauren polo shirt on, so you kind of made up for it there.
Well, I was coming on the radio. I wanted to look nice.
So I was reading just because I said, well, now that I know that we have Smutty Nose here today, let me take a look online. I need to hear about this Spank birthday party coming up here. Now I'm hoping that's one of your beer brands.
Spank, we just turned 21 about 3 weeks ago. Our birthday is actually on Bastille Day.
Oh, perfect.
So we sold our first pint of Scholl's Pale Ale on the Portsmouth waterfront on Bastille Day in 1994. So we just turned 21.
Were you playing Rush?
I was getting ready to go to high school, so I wasn't there in Tennessee.
Man, these kids.
So Spank was our birthday beer. It was a hoppy saison. It was about 7.5%. We used a lot of cool new hop varieties in it, and we packaged it up in these beautiful black painted silkscreen bottles. And then we actually had the birthday party last Sunday. It was at the brewery. We moved into a new brewery just over a year ago in Hampton. And this is sort of the first big public party that we've had there. And by all accounts, it went incredibly well. We learned a lot from the first time around, and we'll be putting all that to use. We're going to be having an Oktoberfest party October 10th at the brewery, and this is actually the first place that that's gone public, so you totally got a scoop today.
Wow, I love when that happens, and Michael always brings the people that give us the scoops.
I might not be cool, but I have a lot of cool friends.
And access to lots of great beer with the excuse of, you want to be in my podcast.
Right? Well, you know, it really is. It's not even a quid pro quo. You know who you are.
Right.
JT always takes care of me. He shows up and he brings me the most cool beer that I've probably never seen, or if I've seen it, I saw that it was released someplace and disappeared in 3.5 minutes. And it's like, oh, by the way, bring this up for your cellar. Thank you, JT.
Wow. So how many different brands or styles of beer does Smutty Nose Brewing produce now?
We do a lot. We have year-round beers, seasonal beers, sort of an intermittent rotational series, the Big Beer Series, and then Smut Labs. So across 5 product lines, I believe we did 47 different beers in 2014. So we stay pretty busy. And,
wow.
You know, in terms of sales, Finest Kind IPA is our best seller. That's about half of the volume we brew. So incrementally from there, especially once you get into the Smut Lab series, you're talking about small brews, small batches, limited releases.
Small bottles, higher price tag, kind of. Well, they are. They justify it. They're beers that in some cases have aged for multiple years, so you're essentially paying a rent on that beer for the whole time that you're not selling.
Never looked at it that way.
We released a beer this year. It was a variation of our Belgian quad, which is called Gravitation. And we aged it in apple brandy barrels for 6 years. So we brewed a beer and we set aside, call it 110 gallons. And it sat in these apple brandy barrels in the brewery for 6 years. And when you do this, you drill a little nail on the end of the barrel. And periodically you pull the nail, you pull a sample out and you taste it. And you say, nope, not quite yet. And then one day you say, it's time. It's go time. And so we released this beer that was aged in barrels in the brewery for 6 years. And I don't know any brewery that in America that has had a beer in a barrel that long. I'm not saying that there isn't one, because there are like 4,000 now. And I'm sure someone else probably has, but I don't know about it. So, the Smut Labs is where we get to play around and try things that we don't know how to do at a large scale, or we don't know if they're even going to work. It's sort of like the skunk works, if you will, of Smutty Nose Brewing.
So that was their original brewery that they operated out of from the onset, right? From 95?
For 20 years.
Yeah.
Were you in Hampton right off the start as well?
No, we were in Portsmouth.
Yeah, that's
we were in Portsmouth for 20 years.
Did I see something on Chronicle or something on Channel 9? And did Secretary of State Clinton come visit?
Yeah, Secretary of State Clinton came to visit recently, but so did Governor Pataki. We being in New Hampshire, I don't have to tell you guys, a lot of politicians come through the state every 4 years, and we're in the middle of that right now. And, from the top down, it's Smutty Nose. Our position is, if you want to come visit our brewery, we want to show you what we do. And it's a chance for us to talk to someone who may be the next president. And I don't know why you'd pass that opportunity up. It's a really unique thing about living in New Hampshire. You know, this is, I think, my third presidential cycle, and to have access and to be on the radar of someone who's on a national scale to come see what you do.
Yeah, and he's being modest too, because their brewery is platinum.
It's not quite gold. We should hear the final grade on gold in the next week.
So this is LEED certification. So this
is
leadership in energy and environmental
design.
Yeah. And so they use reclaimed timber from their own that they cleared from the land that they built on for pieces in the bar, which is why they didn't use any of my granite.
we use recycled zinc on the bar top.
Right.
And then all the trees in Hayseed, which is our restaurant outside at the brewery that everyone should come eat a delicious meal there. All the tables are made from red oak trees that we had to saw down on the site during the construction process. And there's a whole laundry list of other things. I won't bore you, like Bubba Gump, you know, like, and then we put in solar tubes and then we recycled barn lumber.
But that's about all the kinds of Green Day is.
but we did pay a lot of attention to trying to make conscious decisions. You know, if you do things right, you only need to build the new brewery once. And we did it. It started in year 19. And when you have 19 years of experience, you know all the things you would like to have different in how you build a brewery and how a brewery functions. And we got to put a lot of that to work in the new facility, which is sort of like a really large version of Christmas. We got all the things. And
yeah. You know. So you 21 years old, 1994. I think you just mentioned 4,000 breweries. Is that craft breweries or breweries all told?
That's total breweries. In
you
the
know, from Budweiser down to the little guy.
Well, technically, Boston Beer Company is a craft brewery. So I think that that term has lost, I don't want to say relevance, but it means different than what a lot of people think it means, which is a small operation, maybe even smaller than Smutty Nose, or maybe the size of Smutty Nose. But it kind of goes up to about everybody but the big three.
So, well, there's also no set definition. I mean, the Brewers Association alone...
Isn't it a barrel output or something, or does that keep changing?
No. It's kind of an arcane technical definition, and it's almost... I think probably for me, on a personal level, the best definition is like Supreme Court Justice Potter Stevens' definition of pornography, which is, I know it when I see it.
Okay.
So you have some people who think that there's no way Boston Beer Company and Sam Adams should be considered a craft brewery because they're big. But I think for a lot of other people, they would tell you that it's an ethos and an approach to the kinds of beers you make and how you make them and ingredients you may choose to use or not use. But it's slippery. I mean, there's a lawsuit out right now where a beer drinker from Seattle is suing Miller Coors because they brew this beer called Blue Moon, and they present it to the world like it's a craft beer.
Artfully crafted is what it says on
the label.
Yeah, I
think we talked about that fairly recently. So if there were 4,000 now in 1994 when Smutty Nose began, Michael, about how many breweries do you think there may have been back in the day? I mean, that was still fairly early on the frontier.
Way less than 1,000, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say definitely under 1,000. I would guess probably between 500 and 1,000.
Because there were pockets of craft brewing. So there was a pocket of craft brewing that was happening in New England. A lot of them were using the kind of Pugsley Ringwood sort of turnkey approach. There were pockets happening around Seattle and San Francisco. And then there was still some of the old school, like Leinenkugel, who never really went away and kind of stayed craft-focused. And then there were the folks more like Narragansett or Pabst Blue Ribbon that may have got bought by somebody, but they were still pretty much putting out the same beer they put out, you know, right after Prohibition.
Well, there were also a whole ton of breweries. Like there was a microbrewery boom in the early to mid-90s. Sort of like what's happening now, but on a smaller scale and maybe not as widespread. And then there was a huge market contraction in the late 90s. So there were tons of breweries that were open back then that, true, you know, you see dusty bottles of and say, oh, I wonder where they were.
Yeah. Or they got bought by, at that point, a lot of the big three were buying breweries to close them because that was the only way they knew how to deal with them as far as competition. That was before they started trying to emulate them and then eventually to buy them to operate as a subsidiary.
J.T. Thompson is a minister of propaganda for Smutty Nose Brewing Company and vice president of Granite State Brewers Association. So you're a relatively young guy. Are you working for Smutty Nose because you were really interested in craft beer and it was just the natural fit for you?
Well, that's kind of why I got into the industry. I have a BA in English, which qualifies me to do a lot of things to a certain extent. And as I was coming up upon graduation, my advisor said, you need to do some internships for your senior year. And I said, well, I'm getting a BA in English, and I don't think you have internships in the things that I'm interested in, and I don't know how to make these things a career. And she said, you're interested in brewing. Why not do a brewing internship? So I called a couple of local breweries in South Central Pennsylvania where I was in college and ended up getting an internship at a homebrew store, which led to an internship at a brew pub that was opening up. And other than a brief stint in grad school for library science, this is the only career I've had.
How old are you?
I turned 35 in May, so.
So can we blame that particular advisor for the fact that you were directed in that way?
Every time I go back to visit her, I bring her like royalty cases of beer. So thank you. I'm like, it worked out. I didn't believe you, but it totally worked out. Please take this beer. Enjoy it. Thank you so much.
That's amazing. Prior to that, no real compelling interest in beer or craft beers.
Oh, no. I had an interest in beer before that, but she sort of took that interest and said, let's find a way to channel this into sort of maybe a viable career path or a way to get you some experience in it.
Cool.
I mean, I first got interested in beer when I was 14, and it wasn't from drinking. I'm from a small town in North Carolina, and I went to...
Drinking age 12 there?
No.
No, that's the marrying age.
We still have lots of dry counties down there. Come on now.
Sorry, but great barbecue in North Carolina.
Best barbecue in the country.
It is. And difference in East and West North Carolina barbecue as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I'm from the Piedmont area, so we do all pork butts, yes, vinegar sauce with tomato. Every time I go home, I always go to my local
Do you ever get to Asheville, or were you from that near that area?
I'm from about 2 hours away, so if I'm home visiting my folks for more than a couple of days, I'd love to go up to Asheville.
You need to get to a restaurant called 12 Bones.
Oh, I've been to that's a regular stop when I go up there.
Well, we had the owners on a couple of weeks ago because they've got a cookbook now, and if you are into cooking or doing barbecuing and you love their food, it's all in there, man.
Does it have that recipe for, was it the blueberry chipotle barbecue sauce?
I believe it does.
Oh, that stuff is so good.
Yeah. Actually, I think we might have a copy of the book in our little library here. We have to take a quick break here and come back. We're talking beer as we do every other Thursday with Michael Hopley Pierce, and he always brings a brewer or somebody from one of the local microbrews along. And today he is JT Thompson from Smutty Nose Brewing Company back, and we're going to find out a little bit more about the big Brewfest coming up here this weekend. So we want you to be aware of that on the Pulse. WTPL 107.7, Food for Thought, right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7, The Pulse.
Yeah, that's us. Hello, I'm Mike Moore, and Carol Lawrence, the other of our Carol and Mike combo, is away today and will be also tomorrow. So Michael Hopley-Pierce has graciously agreed to, on his dime, I figured I'd better make sure you understood that. Be the co-host tomorrow. We'll be broadcasting live on the sidewalk in front of the Beacon Building, 814 Beacon, right in the heart of all the action of downtown Manchester, Elm Street. Hope you'll come by and say hello. We'll be, actually, Michael, and I do this for you, our comedy Cold Cuts theme tomorrow is beer. And there's a lot of comedians who talk about beer. Now, unfortunately, a lot of them are not in a family-friendly setting, as radio still is.
Beer is not the only four-letter word.
I know. But I found a bunch of stuff that I think you and all our listeners will enjoy. So that's tomorrow, starting at noon on The Pulse. We're brought to you by Fallon's Furniture, the official decorator of the Green Room for Food for Thought, and Kale and Company, also New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. So, big weekend. It's Summerfest. The Granite State Brewers Association is presenting that on Saturday afternoon. And Michael, why don't you bring us up to speed on that? Because hopheads everywhere want to be there.
It's going to be an awesome event. I believe the official open time is 1 to 5. Is that right?
VIP starts at noon, and then the non-VIP portion is 1 to 5. Mm-hmm.
The LIP? The less important people?
Oh, no.
Well, there's got to be going to make that judgment call. No. I'm with the festival, man.
The Minister of Propaganda just winced.
You can't make a relative statement and then not allow me to make another relative statement. It defeats the whole relativism.
Oh, no. I just don't have to roll with it.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Okay. All right. So it starts at noon or 1, depending on how much money you have. And so what do they get? I mean, I've never been to anything quite like this.
So just about, with a few exceptions, every brewery in New Hampshire is going to be on site. In most cases, it's going to be the brewer slash owner, the people that actually are making the donuts. And you'll get to engage them in conversation as you get samples of one or two or however many beers they have. The samples are all included in the cost to get in. There will be food from local restaurants. They're going to be doing a wing competition, which I heard a rumor that the mayor might even be one of the judges for.
I saw him last week, and he did indicate that would be the case.
So there's going to be live music the whole time.
Okay.
So JT, being the vice president of the association, could probably dig into a whole lot more detail than I could.
Yeah, give us more.
Yeah, so it's going to be taking place at Arms Park on Saturday, July 25th. Tickets are still available. That's going to be my first of many plugs for buying tickets. If you go to GraniteStateBrewersAssociation.org, you can buy tickets online. We're getting low on VIP tickets, so if you want that extra hour of more space and better access to the brewers, you're going to want to hop on those now. We will be selling tickets at the gate as well, but it's basically it's a way to bring breweries to people. There's been a big growth of new breweries in the state over the last 3 or 4 years, and most of them are quite small. They're either small brew pubs or they're small nano breweries that have opened up, and they don't really distribute. And it's everywhere from Littleton down to Nashua and all over the state. So it's a way to sort of get everyone together, bring the community of brewers together, put our beers out to the people, and raise some funds for our organization, but also for New Horizons, which is here in Manchester, which I'm
fighting hunger in the state,
fighting hunger and helping people in need, which, mm-hmm. you know, if you can't get behind that cause, then you've lost your heart somewhere. So
yet a meanwhile, Mr. Grinch.
So it's a chance to give people sort of the scope of what's available in New Hampshire beer wise. This isn't a big state. It's not hard to travel around. And it's a good way to let people know that you're never far from good New Hampshire brewed beer when you are traveling around the state.
In fact, on that note, why don't you bring up the new beer passport?
Wow, so many things to plug. Thank you, Michael. yeah, so one of the things that we've just launched as an organization, and I'm pulling it out of my wallet even though we're on radio, we've just launched the first New Hampshire Beer Trail, and it's a nice trifold document. Not all the breweries in the state are on it, but a lot of them are, and they're scattered all around, and it's pretty straightforward. You pick up your passport. When you visit breweries on there, you ask for a stamp to show that you've been there. And when you get a certain number of stamps, you can redeem your passport for prizes. We have three different prize tiers, 10 stamps, 20 stamps, and all the brewery stamps. And you redeem it, and then we send you a prize in the mail. We will have these available at the festival. You can get them online and print them out yourself. And I can tell you, having already started mine, it's actually really fun to go to breweries you haven't been to before.
Yeah, it gives you kind of a reason or incentive that maybe you didn't have. Not that you need one beyond, you know, experiencing it all, but...
But, you know, we're creatures of habit, and we exist in our own spheres, and it's nice to have something, like, especially in the summer. You know, I'll drive up to Littleton. It's a nice Saturday. Mm-hmm. Get up, make your coffee, head up to Littleton, and go visit Schilling Brewing.
Yeah.
Their beers are great. It's a beautiful location.
And I think being plugged into the scene, it sometimes makes it harder to say I'm going to go to Littleton to try some great beer, because I'm sure their beer is awesome. I really would like to drink it, but I can drive 6 minutes and get great beer. So if we were in a desert, you know, a beer desert, it would be, you would say, oh, I certainly can drive an hour and a half. But mm-hmm. if you haven't tried it, you really don't know. But you get a chance to try it in your own backyard, and then you say exactly what he just said, that, you know, this is a beautiful day. I'm going to take a drive up to Littleton. I'll pop into Schilling, and, you know, now I know why I'm going there.
All right, so here's the question. When you go to Littleton and you want to try Schilling's beer, do you go to Chutter's Candy Store before or after the brewery experience? Now, they have the world's longest candy counter.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, because that's almost a must visit when you're there.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, I'm 35, and I'm noticing my metabolism starting to change, so I'm just going to stick to the beer and skip the candy. No offense to Chutters. But.
No, that's absolutely fine. Hey, another thing about Summerfest happening this weekend at Arms Park, which is a great on-the-river location right under Bridge Street. It really is a beautiful spot. I've seen a lot of events there. It's a really good place. It's a massive parking lot, so... You know, nobody's going to get their feet muddy if we have any rain. But you also have designated driver services available, and I think that's really important to talk about people who may be not realizing that they've been overserved slightly.
Yeah, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I've been going to beer festivals for a long time, and mm-hmm. when you get, you know, 1 or 2 ounce pours, it's easy to think, well, I haven't had that much beer because they're little, but it can actually sneak up on you if you're not careful. And it doesn't take long to drink a 2 ounce pour of beer either. And you know, it is still, we're still dealing with alcoholic beverages.
That's right.
And if we can help people be responsible, that's so much the better. We want people to have a good time, not a bad time. And there's nothing worse than having an accident happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's $20, just so people know, plus with a service fee, I guess it's another $1.50 or so. General admission is $30 if you want to do the VIP thing, which I think for another $10, as you say, to get a little bit more, I guess, clear, uncluttered access to the brewers and a head start on some of the product, I think it's worth the extra $10. Plus you get to park closer, probably.
And some things kegs kick. You know, some brewers will have 3 kegs of something and only 1 keg of something else, or maybe they bottled it. They only have 3 or 4 bottles, and when it's gone, it's gone, and it's probably the coolest thing they have, maybe. That's when you get to make sure that you actually have an opportunity to try those things.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything else like it in the state of New Hampshire as far as a gathering of micro and craft brewers?
There's America Untapped, but I think they're very different events. This is outside. America Untapped is inside. This is all New Hampshire brewers, so this mm-hmm. is all a celebration of our state. Whereas most of the festivals will have some local folks, and then they'll have some big boys from out of state, out of country, which is cool. That's fine. I mean, they make good beer, but this is all about us.
Well, we'll pick up on that a little bit more tomorrow. Michael, you'll be here as my co-host, sitting in for Carol. So not only will we have Comedy Cold Cuts all about beer, but we'll dig in a little bit more detail on that. And JT Thompson from Smutty Nose, good to meet you today, and hope that Michael brings you back again sometime.
Thank you. Thanks for having me in. And if you find me at the festival, I will give you a high five. So come get a ticket. Come get a high five.
He'll be hanging out at the Tap Handle Show booth. Don't worry.
All right. We're at 1256. Linda Thompson Ditch, our blogger from Kansas, former New Hampshire resident, lets us know what she's up to. And we'll check in with her on the other side of news coming up next. This is Food for Thought. Carol and Mike, I'm Mike Morin. It's 107.7 The Pulse. WTPL. See you on the other side.